the Lord my share, life everlasting receiving. Life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life, glory to Jesus forever. Bearing our burden of guilt, the King, one who is strong to deliver. Bringing to men through his wondrous name, life more abundant forever. Life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life, glory to Jesus forever. Burden one, why will you longer bear sorrows from which he releases? Open your heart and rejoicing share life more abundant in Jesus. Life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life, glory to Jesus forever. Leaving the mountain, the streamlet grows, flooding the vale with a river. So from the hill of the cross there flows life more abundant forever. Life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life, glory to Jesus forever. Oh, for the floods on the thirsty land, oh, for a mighty revival. Oh, for a sanctified, fearless man, ready to heal his survival.
Life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, glory to Jesus forever. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. The Lord bless you, Sister Alva, Brother Mark. Really appreciate leading the songs tonight. Our Brother Gary's preaching in Ava Street Pentecost Assembly tonight. I pray the Lord will just bless them down there. And may the Lord help us here. And let us turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. And I've read this scripture maybe a few times over the last few services. And if anyone hasn't got to hear the last few meetings, I've been really talking a lot about the grain of wheat falling into the ground and on that lines. And you can go on our church webpage, omegaministry.co.uk, and you can listen in any of the services, even that the other brothers has preached. Even for years, Brother Brian Freeborn, all the different brother messages is on there on our website. It goes back for years. So anyone that wants still can go on and catch up or listen. And it's good sometimes to go back and listen. Some of the other brothers maybe that's went on to be with the Lord, they're on there. And the Lord's word doesn't return void. I want tonight to talk a little bit about the purpose of Christ's second coming. And there's five things I want to bring out. They're all at different times. I won't have time to tell you all the different time scales of it. But I'll hit the highlights tonight, and then we'll just see what the Lord does. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15, 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. The emphasis tonight will be they that are Christ. The Lord is coming for those that is his. Let us bow again this evening. Praise God. And next Sunday morning, our brother John's going to be preaching for us. Next Sunday morning. So remember all the meetings. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word of truth. We bless you for even what our brother Mark said this evening is so true. We appreciate the men that went on before and gave their lives, that we could have the word of God tonight. How we appreciate that great servant, William Tyndale, burned at the stake for the word of God. We thank you for the word of God tonight. And Lord, we know that your word is precious. May you make it precious to each and every one of us. May we learn to read our Bibles. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will move in this house tonight, that you will strengthen and bless your own people. Bless every word for the true word of God's preached. We pray for Brother Gary tonight that you bless him, give him wisdom and anoint the Holy Spirit, and that somebody's life will be touched by the power of God. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you do. And I pray you'll meet the need of everyone in this house and all that's listening in. Save and heal in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Praise God. You see, the whole thing here, Christ is coming for his church. The bridegroom is coming for a bride. That's what it's all about. The bridegroom is coming for a bride, and he's going to take that church, that bride, to himself. That's where she's going to go. And Paul here specifies those who will take part in this resurrection here in Corinthians. Here he says, those who are Christ's. So this resurrection, which we know to be the catching away or the rapture, the Lord is coming for those that are Christ. Now I've wrote in my notes here, in commas, comment on this. Because you see, all that say they're Christians are not the Lord's. Because to be a Christian, one must have Christ to be a Christian. And if you've got Christ, you've got the life of Christ in you. For him that hath the Son hath life, and him that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath or judgment of God abides in that man or woman. So to be part of Christ or to be Christ, we absolutely have to be born again. We have to repent of our sins. We have to turn to the Lord. We have to do what it says in Romans, in Joel, in the book of Acts, and so many scriptures, call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And I tell you, thank God tonight, I believe I'm talking to people that are Christ. I believe that you've called on the name of the Lord, and I believe you're saved, and I believe many of you tonight are filled with the Spirit of God, and the Lord's coming for you. It's not you going for him, he's coming for you. And you know, you think of that when you get saved. We never sought God either. God sought us. It says no man seeks God. This phrase indicates the possession. It is the same as saying those who belong to Christ, he's coming for them. Then in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knows his own people. The Lord knows those who it's his. There's people tonight claiming to be Christians, but they don't belong to the Lord. They belong to the movement. They belong to an organization, but they've never been born again. And not the Lord. They might attend church service. They might do a lot of religious ceremonies and all that. But the Bible says through the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Here this verse also says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And you know when a man's really saved, I don't believe in this business of, you know, signing people up to get them dried out. And, you know, you're converting them every week. And you're trying to make a good person out of them. That's not the Bible. When a man or a woman is really born again, they're a new creature in Christ Jesus. They're born again. They don't want to be doing iniquity no more. They turn from iniquity. They turn from sin and they turn to the Lord. That's what real repentance means. And the Lord's telling us, let every man that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And the Lord's coming for people that's departed from iniquity. And they belong to him. And they love him. And he's coming for them. Now only the Lord himself knows who belongs to him. We can't say that church over there, this church, we can't do that. The Lord knows those that are his. Not only does the Lord know those that are his, the Lord says, my sheep will hear my voice. And another they won't follow. And I'm going to talk a wee bit about the voice tonight. The true people of God will depart from iniquity, Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with all affections and all lusts. And I tell you, as Christians, we're living in this pest house and we have to crucify the flesh. There's things that the body or that self wants to do, but we don't yield to it. The Bible says we're not to yield our members to sin, but we're to be sanctified and we're to live for the Lord. Isn't that right? And you know, the return of Christ. The return of Christ is one of the main themes, or if not the main biblical theme of Bible prophecy. And most Bible students know that every promise or prophecy in the Bible that referred to Christ's first coming, and there was many of them, but did you know that there's five times as many promises concerning Christ's second coming than there was concerning his first coming? And if we need to know about the first coming, and there's five times as many prophetic prophecies to the second coming, we need to preach about it. It needs to be preached. And I believe people need to hear that the Lord's coming. We need to hear that. Now, this lets us see how important, scripturally speaking, that the second coming and these scriptures are. Now, I want to just briefly give you five things, and you can write them down. Five things. And there's no particular order in that sense, and they're not at the one time, and I'm not going to go into dates and times tonight. I won't have time. First, Christ will come for his bride. Jesus Christ is coming for his bride. He will come again as a bridegroom to receive to himself the true spirit-filled believers is the ones he's coming for. Because the Bible says in Revelations, the bride has made herself ready. Now that's to say to you tonight, how will you make yourself ready for the Lord's coming? The only way that we can make ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord is to be filled with the Spirit of God. How many believe that tonight? It's not the Bible. We need to be filled, born again, and filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And we need to be looking for the coming of the Lord. I tell you, there's a lot of people today, and they're not looking for the coming of the Lord. They don't believe the Lord is coming. They say, we've heard it preached for years. We don't believe the Lord is coming, but the Lord's coming. Praise God. Now I'll go into that a bit more later in the service. They will be united with Christ, either by resurrection or by a change immediately. And that's 1 Thessalonians. Because you see, when the Lord comes, those of us that are still alive and remain won't even go to the grave. But those that have already been in the grave or that are asleep in the Lord will bring with him. John 14 verse 3 says this, and this is Jesus himself speaking. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is not my words or some man's words, but the words of Jesus Christ himself are a promise that I am coming again. The Lord said, I'm coming again to get you. That's the words of the Lord. Now here's number two. Christ will come for the national salvation of Israel. And these are not in order, but I'm going to tell you these five things tonight. Christ is coming for the national salvation of Israel. God is going to open Israel's eyes. God is going to speak to Israel. We know that two messengers are going to go to Israel, Moses and Elijah, and they're going to preach to them, and they're going to be saved, and they're going to see the 144,000 of them. the nation, remnant of Israel, that have survived the fires, the great tribulation of it, will acknowledge. They're going to acknowledge Jesus the Messiah, and it's at the end of the tribulation, God's going to save them. And they're going to be reconciled to God, and they're going to be restored to his favor and blessing. And this is foretold in the promise of God through Isaiah. And Paul the Apostle quotes Isaiah in Romans 11, verse 26 to 27. And so all Israel shall be saved. Romans 11, verse 26 to 27. And as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. And you remember Jacob's name was changed till Israel. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So the Lord's coming for his people, for his church, his bride, and the Lord is going to save Israel. Now here's number three. Christ will come for the overthrow of the Antichrist and Satan. Coming for that as well. These are the things the Lord's going to do. He's going to overturn the Antichrist. He's going to overthrow the devil. That's what the Lord's coming to do. And you know, there's two spirits working in the world today. We need to know that. There's the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, and there's the Antichrist spirit, which is unholy. And you see, people are motivated by one or the other. There's nothing in between. It's one or the other. And Jesus said, you can't serve Balaam, God, and Mammon at the same time. Isn't that right? 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8 to 9. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And I tell you, there's a man, and he's going to deceive everybody. And all the nations of the world is going to wander after him. The Bible tells us that. They'll wander after the beast. And all worship him except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. All the rest. And there's people that are going to take his mark. And there's going to come a time where you'll not be able to buy, you'll not be able to sell unless you have his mark. And if you take his mark, you're finished. But thank God that a rapture takes place. And God's people go, but those that's left, there's going to be people that'll come out of the tribulation that's going to be saved, and they won't take the mark. They'll have their heads cut off, we know that. But they won't take the mark. And I tell you, if anyone's listening to this preacher tonight, if you are left behind, and you don't go in the rapture because you weren't right, or you weren't saved at the time, and then you've got saved, never take the mark. Die. If you have to, but don't take the mark. And you'll still be saved. I tell you, God can't break his word. Number four, Christ will come for the judgment of the Gentile nations. Jesus himself foretells us. All the Gentile nations tonight, they're going to be judged. There's a day coming when they will be judged before the Lord. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 32. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all of the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. And if you read on down, you read about the sheep and the goat from separating. And God's going to separate them. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I was thinking this morning, and I never said it, maybe it wasn't really totally on what I was saying, but I was thinking, you know, and I do remember the brothers here when they had the mills going at John's farm. And I remember, you know, when you put the sheaf, the man on top, you throw the sheaves up to him with a pitchfork, and he puts them in the mill, and the mill separates the wheat from the barley or the corn, from the stalk. They're separated. And the wheat or the barley, whatever it is you're working with, goes into the bag at the back of her, and the straw goes out the other side. And then there's chaff in there as well. And the chaff goes through the shakers, There's shakers in there in that yoke. She gives him a real shaking. And the Bible says the angels of the Lord is going to separate the chaff from the wheat. Isn't that what it says? There's going to come a separation. And you know, we as Christians, even now, we're to separate from some things. God's people are a separated people. Because that's the way God's called us to be. Here's number five. Christ will come for the establishment of the millennial kingdom on earth. Number five. Jesus Christ is going to come to this earth and reign on it with his own people for 1,000 years. This is included in the scripture passage of Matthew 25 and foretold also in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 24 verse 23. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. And it is also foretold in Zechariah 14:9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And then the actual time period of the 1,000 years, the actual, where you read 1,000 years, is in Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgments was given to them, and I saw souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So the Lord's even saying here about those that don't take the mark on their seed. I never received it. The Lord is going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And I haven't time tonight to go into it and show you. But the devil will abound for 1,000 years. Now I know there's different interpretations how he's bound. None of them is going to worry me. The only one thing I can tell you is he's bound. So if something's bound, it's not moving. It's not right. He's going nowhere for 1,000 years. It's not great. We need to bind him ourselves in every meeting with prayer. The Lord's going to bind him for 1,000 years. Now, the word millennial is a Latin word meaning a period of 1,000 years. That's what the word millennial means. It's a Latin word which means a period of 1,000 years. So when you read the word millennium in Latin, it means a period of 1,000 years. And you think of it. Now, I can tell you tonight, when the rapture takes place, we're going to go to be with the Lord for at least 3.5 years. And then we're going to come back with Christ, and we're going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and she'll split in two, and the boats will come up into there, into the harbor. And the Lord's going to, we're going to be reigning on this earth for the Lord for 1,000 years. And God's going to do so many wonderful things. This book, I tell you, some preaching in this Bible, we're only scratching the surface. So Christ will come for his church, his bride. Christ will come for the salvation of Israel. He'll see the 144,000, and he'll also come for the overthrow of the Antichrist, and he'll come at the end for the judgment of the Gentiles, and he'll also come to establish the millennial reign. There's five things that the Lord's going to do. Isn't that wonderful? Now I want to come back to the resurrection and the rapture, and I might mention a bit of this word rapture, and I won't keep you as long tonight, I promise that. Resurrection and rapture of the true believers. 1 Thessalonians. Let me read it to you. And I tell you, God done something for me the other morning. I had nothing to do with it now. But it really shook me up. And I actually thought, and I said to myself, the rapture could be happening. That's how much it moved me. That's the honest truth. And I'm not going to say no more than that. If I was somewhere strange, I'd maybe tell it all, but I won't hear. See, people can get familiar and you think, you know, it's just Brother Tom. I hope you understand what I mean by that. But 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So right away I want you to see, Paul is writing this to comfort to the believers. This is a message of comfort because there's people in the church and their loved ones that's went on to be with the Lord. They're asleep in the Lord. Remember when you're talking about somebody being dead, if they're a believer, they're not dead. They're asleep in the Lord. There's a difference. And those of us that have loved ones that have went on, they're asleep in the Lord. And when this rapture takes place, they're going to be brought out of the ground and they're coming up before us. Read it here, do you see? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent nor hinder. There's another word in some other translations. Prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And that's wonderful. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now there are a couple of things I want to deal with tonight. One of them is the voice. I want you really to get this evening. Because there's people preach stuff and it's nonsense. And we must stick to the Bible, isn't that right? And then the Bible's not nonsense, it's the Word of God. The main purpose here, and I've already said, it's for the comfort. The true Christian believers died, are described as here in our scripture, as those that have fallen asleep in the Lord. That's the description tonight. They're resting. They're really living. They're not dead. Oh, I tell you, I know it's hard to get our heads around it, but I can tell you it's the truth. Those who sleep in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. But now there's this here, hearing his voice. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, there's the hearing of his voice. And there's nothing going to happen until you hear his voice. When did he get this tonight? Now people talk about certain messengers and certain preachers, and that is the Lord's voice, and you hear that voice. I don't believe that. I believe a man preaching, yes, he's speaking for the Lord. I believe in prophets and all them things. But when you look at this Bible, it is only Jesus Christ that brought the dead up. I want you to get that. I tell you, if we can do it, I know God now can raise you to lead you to raise the dead. I believe that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the resurrection. John 5, verse 28 and 29, I've read this before. Marvel not this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And we've read here in 1 Thessalonians, for the trump of God shall sound, and the voice of the archangel. Then the dead rise. There has to be the voice, there has to be the trumpet, and the trumpet sounding always denotes something. You go in them scenes in church ages, you'll read it. It's plain. That's why the devil keeps you away from them. I'm telling you the truth tonight. The devil wants nobody to read the seven church age book or the seals book, because there's too much information in them that exposes them that you will not get nowhere else. And I'm telling you that's the truth. And I've read a lot of stuff and they miss it. Like I said this morning, some great preachers and great men of God and our wonderful men, they don't know who the Antichrist is. But the first seal exposes who he is. It tells you who he is. John 11, verse 43, 44. And when he thus spoke, and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Who was that? The Lord. And you know why the Lord cried, Lazarus, come forth? Because all the dead were raised. It was the voice of Jesus Christ that called the dead out. And here in John 5, we're reading that his voice again will call the dead out. Now, I already mentioned how that Christ cried on the cross in Matthew 27. Let's read it again. Matthew 27, 50 to 52. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. When? After he cried out. want you to get that as a fact. This is a scriptural principle. This is called following a line of truth. That's what it's called. When God says it once and he keeps on saying it, it's for a reason. And he cried. And as when he cried and he yielded up the ghost, there's not one of them could come out that he cried. But when his voice spoke, everything changed. You could go right back to Calvary tonight. Think of the Lord on the cross. Think of what I'm talking about here. Think that you've had 6 hours of pure darkness. Then you would have to go back to the book of Exodus, and you would think of the darkness then, and you would think of the sacrifice then, and you'd think of what Moses was told, apply the token. And know what you'd read? There was darkness in Egypt that could be felt. It was so dark. And the darkness on the cross could be felt. It was so dark. And in those 6 hours of darkness, Jesus took our place. And all the hell we deserved, he took it in them 6 hours. But at the end of the 6 hours, he cried out. And he cried out, the veil was rent. Not just the veil in the sense of his flesh, but the priest was going into the tabernacle to minister. And the veil before him ripped in two. I'll guarantee he near took a heart attack. He was going in to do a servile work, the priest. And the tabernacle, and remember, the thickness of the veil in the tabernacle is the thickness of a man's hand. And it never ripped from the bottom up, it ripped from the top down, the opposite way about. You know, if you're ripping something, there's a way to rip it, the easiest way. Well, God ripped it the hardest way. And he tore it in two right before the priest. And God was saying, the way is now made into the holiest of holies, the clear avenue, because Christ has died. Once he yielded up the ghost. And I tell you, the graves of them saints come out. When they heard the voice. The voice. Oh, there's something about the voice. I want you to know there's something about the voice. I want you to know that Adam and Eve hid themselves. They had sinned and they hid themselves. And I want you to know at evening time that the voice of God came in the garden. The Bible tells us in Genesis. That the voice of God come in the garden, and the voice of God come in the garden at evening time. And the voice of God said, where are you, Adam? And he says, we're hid ourselves. And I want to tell you, it's evening time scripturally again, and the voice of God is spoken at the end time. Because it's evening time. Zechariah says, it shall be light at the evening time. It's evening time. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. It is the voice of Christ that alone has the power to call the dead out of the graves. Are you hearing me tonight? The voice of Christ alone has the power to call the dead out of the graves. When you read it, Wigglesworth and all the wonderful men of God, and I believe, when you believe, that people are brought back from the grave, but it was through the name of Jesus Christ they could do it. They couldn't do it in their own name. They couldn't do it in their own words. It was through that name, because Jesus says all power is in that name. He says that name's above every other name. Even the dead have to obey to that name. Isn't that wonderful? And that he's going to call us. The Lord's going to call you. I'll tell you something, when God calls you, when God calls you, not a man, when God calls you, you'll never be the same. You can't. When God calls you. You see, at this particular moment, he will call forth only the righteous dead. Now I'm emphasizing that. I'm talking about 1 Thessalonians here, when he comes, when he calls them out of the graves. And just like in the time of Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth, because all of them would have raised. He could have raised them all. And when the rapture takes place, he's only rapturing his bride. The rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. I tell you, there's a lot of stuff in it. I'm only hitting you the highlights. It's called forth the righteous dead. Only those who have died in the faith. The Bible tells us that. There's a special significance in two of the Greek words too, what Paul uses in the passage of 1 Thessalonians 4:17, where he says, we shall be caught up. And the Greek word for caught up translated means to catch up, is harpozo. That's what it is in Greek. The word in Greek. And you remember, this Bible was not written in English. How many knows that? It was translated from the Greek into English and from the Latin into English. But that's not the original language. It never originated from the English. But we've put it, it's been put in English. And then we believe the King James is the most accurate version, don't we? Certainly we do. But you see, to catch up, that denotes a sudden shift. To tick one. To grab them and tick them. It's like I said this morning, we will not be going of our own. The Lord's going to tick us. We're going to be taken. And that's what this word comes from. To be caught up, to snatch up, to catch up. Swift, violent grab. It's used 4 times in the New Testament to describe people being caught up to heaven. And as we often use here, it's a scriptural sign we have here, and it's a good one. The catching away. And it is a catching away. You're caught away. The Lord catches you away. You're caught up. Acts 8:39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Now wonderful. But the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. He joined Philip. He preached him Christ from the book of Isaiah. And he could see him. He could baptize. And the Spirit of the Lord caught him miles away. He was away over somewhere else. This is where the word rapture is taken from. Harpozo in the Greek verb, which I've said means to catch up. The Latin verb means precisely the same thing. To seize, to snatch away. The Lord's taking us. There's nothing we're going to have to do. As long as we are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord's taking us. We're going to be taken. Paul is using these words, caught up or caught away, because it will be like a feast. The feast. No one knew when he would come. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a feast. Now the only difference in the Lord and the faith is the faith's coming to take someone that's not his. But at the very start of this message, I told you the Lord is coming for his people. That's the difference. He's coming as a faith. Now the Lord's coming as a faith, and there's so many scriptures to tell us. Matthew 24, watch therefore, for you know neither the hour that your Lord comes. How is it that people can say they know when it started, they know this and they know that? They don't know. Nobody knows. And the Bible goes very far with this, for the Bible says only the Father knows when he'll come. So therefore the mystery of the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord, no man can know it. Not the truth. Absolutely, I believe it is. So if I can tell you I know all about it, you can write then I'm false. I told you of an old boy over in part of Africa, an old false prophet. He told all the people the Lord was coming, and he gave them a time and everything. And they fell for it. He told them they need to sell up all, but he started buying when they started selling. Wasn't it amazing that he was the prophet to tell them when the Lord's coming? But he wasn't worried about the Lord coming. He was taking the money and buying himself whatever he could, living high. And they were living on nothing. They were giving him all the money. He'll answer for that, but the day he'll answer for that. Do you know what happened at the end of it, brothers and sisters? And this is a true story. This is not just something I've made up. They burnt him out. They burnt him out. They burnt his house and everything he had. They burnt him clean out onto the road. They burnt all he had. They burnt him out because they knew they were deceived. I'll tell you, the Lord's coming. Revelations 16:15. I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. And the Lord's given us garments, and they're garments of his righteousness. Matthew 24:42-43. Excuse me, watch therefore, for you need not know the hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered its house to be broken up. So you see, the Lord's going to come and it's going to happen, and we don't know. So we just have to live each day for the Lord the best we can and make sure that we're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. But the Lord's coming. The Lord bless you tonight. Let's stand our feet. And I'm going to pray, and then our brother Mark's going to come. Praise God. I know I've maybe put a lot in a short space, but I hope I've said something to bless you, or that you can read yourself and study it. Well, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you'd want prayer of the night in this service, just lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord bless you. There's not many of us, but a lot of people's wanting prayer. Someone's listening in tonight. Be saved. Be filled. Be ready. The Lord's coming. Heavenly Father, we bow humbly before you tonight. In the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that your word is the truth. Pray, Lord Jesus, you'll bless your word till all of our hearts. Ask you tonight for the hands that's raised. Father, that you'll meet every need, that you'll answer prayer. Help every one of us to be ready to have our garments clean, washed, and filled with the Holy Spirit, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We thank you for the encouragement you've given us in this last few days to show us that you truly are coming again. Father, we long to see your loved ones saved. Sons and daughters, husbands, wives, nieces and nephews, aunts and uncles, relations, people we love dear. Lord, we would ask for the Holy Spirit to work in them. We would ask the Holy Spirit to move in them. We would ask you to bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. And save them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, tonight, bless every brother and every sister in this room. Meet their every need. Answer their prayers. Do them good, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as your brother Mark comes. And we'll be back Wednesday night, 7:30, for prayer and Bible study.
Amen. Maybe we could sing up one, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
You know, it says, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promises and to hear, thus saith the Lord. You know, if we can just trust him, it's not it.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust.